with. Even 100,000 years of compass. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the religious truth one with myself.
To the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. There's a place in the writings of St. Teresa of Avila where she said to God, "Why is it that you're so hard on those who love you?" This is a very deeply devout person, and it should not be taken as a question should not be taken as a form of rebellion or stubbornness on her part. The Christian mystics did not have the benefit of the teachings of Buddhism, so did not know about the detailed workings of karma and rebirth. And this morning I want to give the Buddhist answer to that question, which is a very important question if it's understood properly. The reason, very simply, why things often go in such a hard and painful direction for deeply religious people is that in order to get cleaned up, the karma that they have inherited from past lives and the karma that they've made in this present life has to be able to come due. When there are particularly heavy karmas that come due, it does sometimes seem as if the house has fallen upon the person. And it feels like it. And in some cases, in many cases, this happens over and over again. Of course, this isn't all that different from ordinary human life. There's many people whose whole life is a succession of disasters, in the external sense, anyway. But this is particularly true for many deeply religious people. I've seen many people very seriously undertake Buddhist training, very seriously undertake meditation, and sometimes, in not a very long time, sometimes after a number of years, have all kinds of things seem to go wrong, often with health, often in other areas. Of course, one doesn't know how things would have gone had the person not undertaken Buddhist training. But not infrequently, one has a pretty good intuitive sense that this is particularly heavy karma coming due, and not infrequently, both the person, or I should say the person and or their teacher or other people who are training who are close to them, actually see what what particular karmas are resulting in particular forms of suffering. It's very easy for disciples to forget that this can happen at any time with their master. It's very easy for lay people, lay trainees, to forget that this can happen at any time with any member of the monastic sangha, their local priest, priests in the larger monasteries. It's very easy for novices, younger monks, not to see that this can happen, and does not infrequently happen, with people more senior to them in the Sangha. And that if it hasn't happened to them, if it hasn't begun to happen to them, it will in some form or other. You can always be sure of it. It is very important to understand that when this happens with someone, it is not proof that their training is not adequate. When this happens with someone, it is not proof that they are doing something wrong in their training. They are on the wrong track. Very heavy past karmas can come due, frequently do come due in very heavy ways, forms of deep spiritual and or physical suffering. Buddhism is not a religion that teaches that there is a gulf between man and God that was caused by some ancient sin on someone's part. Suffering that people undergo when karma comes due is not the result of original sin. It is not the result of some fundamental evil in human life or in existence in general. It is just karma coming due. Heavy karma comes due in heavy forms. Light karma comes due in light forms. No amount of training and enlightenment stops karma from coming due. The law of karma is inexorable. Spiritual training, the practice of the precepts, the practice of meditation, the practice of the paramitas, generosity, patience, and so on, compassion, these aspects of training and enlightenment mitigate the severity with which heavy karmas come due. And heavy karmas can be so heavy that they still, when they come due, when the consequence is reaped fully in feeling and in the body, can manifest as very, very deep suffering. So the important question is not what is wrong with me that I suffer. The important question is, how can I train within the suffering so that the causes, the deep roots of karma, are fully converted, and so that all of that deep spiritual need that is embodied in both the cause and the effect, that is displayed in the effect, so that that deep spiritual need can find its way to the saving compassion, love, and wisdom of the eternal. Difficult situations, difficult circumstances, painful mental and spiritual states, painful physical states, all these forms of dukkha or suffering are both karma coming due and an opportunity to springboard into deeper spirituality. It's all in the choices that we make as we go through the suffering. So I want to give a few pointers about this. And we'll start with what we might call the more externalized forms of karmic consequence coming due. The kind that happens when something happens in human relationships. Something happens that which we experience the loss or the illusion of the loss of someone we love. This loss can be through death. It can be through alienated affection, through people cutting one another off or trying to do so. It can be through separation in distance. When we are holding on spiritually to those we love, and any of these things happen, we suffer. And when some of the more convoluted and unpleasant forms of them happen, we can doubt that we are loved, and we can experience flashes of resentment, even hatred, when karma comes due in this way. It's important to understand that we only hurt ourselves if we go down a path of hatred, to walk any non-perceptual path is to hurt oneself. As an alternative to going down a path of complaining and bitterness, hardening of the heart, resentment, hatred, we can take that person who we love and who in some way we feel we have lost, and we can place that person on the altar of the heart, turn that person over into the hands of the Eternal. This will not magically remove all grief. When we truly do this, we will cease to hate. There is a greater and more mature and wise love in letting go, in offering up, than there can ever be in clinging. In this area, as in other areas of karma coming due, there is a great opportunity to practice generosity, one of the paramitas, especially the deepest generosity, generosity of spirit. Generosity of spirit recognizes that whatever anyone may think of me, I am responsible for what I think of them and what I think of myself. And I can choose to look up and to think well of others and to wish well of others, for others. I can choose to have sympathy for others, regardless of how they may view me. They make their karma, I make mine. If I wish to do something about the roots of my own suffering, can I afford to harbor resentment in my heart? Can I afford to nurture it in my thoughts? Can I afford to complain, to criticize? If I do that, who am I hurting? This is the thing about the precepts. It always comes back to who one is really hurting. One is really hurting oneself when one walks a non-perceptual path. Similarly, one is really helping oneself. First and foremost, one is helping oneself. At the deepest level, one is helping oneself get straight, get in harmony with the Eternal when one walks a truly perceptual path. Generosity of spirit, not keeping a score, not keeping score of where others have wronged one. Putting away the tally sheet and just trusting Buddha nature is a path to the conversion of the roots of anger and hatred. It's said in Buddhism that dukkha, suffering, well, quite literally, actually, it means that which is hard to bear. The term dukkha means that which is hard to bear. When we encounter that which is hard to bear, we have an opportunity to practice the paramita of patience. We have an opportunity to practice bowing. Both physical and spiritual pain are hard to bear. And some forms of physical and spiritual pain are acutely hard to bear. Yet it's amazing what people can bear and how gracefully they can bear great pain when they really train with it, when they really turn towards the Eternal for help and accept the help of man as well in the ways that are appropriate. Some pain is such that simply nothing dulls it or softens it. And this pain, when a person is in this state of pain, the person is in a hell, really. A spiritual and or physical hell. Anyone who has spent time in such a hell, even a few minutes, has had an education, even if sometimes perhaps a brief one, and how important it is to sympathize with those who suffer deeply. And such experience of pain can give one a great deal of respect, help one have a great deal of respect and admiration for people who suffer deeply and who bear it with any kind of grace at all. When we find ourselves in the midst of pain, we find ourselves in a situation in which we really need to apply the principles of our training. And if we do so, we'll find that we're helped by them. To really focus in and meditate, not to try to escape from or beat off the pain, but to relax into it and look up as we do so. To allow the heart to be still enough and upward looking enough to allow the heart to rise naturally, to turn naturally towards the Eternal for help in the midst of the suffering. And not to harden ourselves, become bitter, despairing, doubting, because the pain is proving to us, we think the pain is proving to us, that immaculacy is not the reality of life. Truth, immaculacy is the reality of life, of all existence. And that does not stand against the fact that karma comes due sometimes in heavy ways. All is one and all is different. All the sufferings in the all is different. In the midst of great suffering, we have the choice, the fundamental spiritual choice, whether to look up or down. That's the choice we have. Whether to withdraw within, be still and look up with it, or to flail against it. We can choose to train with suffering, or we can choose to despair. There come crucial points in human life when it really is just that simple. We can choose to train with it, or we can choose to despair. Don't look down and spin off into despair and doubt, a hardened heart, critical attitudes, opinions, theories, worldly ideas and ideals and ideologies. That's all empty. Don't spin off into anger. Hold fast to the eternal. Hold fast to the Lord of the house. Trust the power of meditation. We recite the scripture of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva frequently. This is what it's about. Trust the mercy and compassion that lie at the heart of the universe. Entrust yourself into its hands. And don't count the cost. No karma is so powerful that it just goes on coming due forever. All forms of suffering pass away. They're all transitory. However difficult it may be sometimes to walk the path, while we are walking it, we are taking everything that happens as being for our good. And to truly walk the path is to find that this really is, always was and always will be, literally true.
Amen.